This is a short share on how you can learn Torah in ways which you may not have thought of. Every generation has its own new types of Torah. The computer has opened a tremendous amount of modern type of learning. I'm going to tell you a few things that I found out on my own, which you can do when you've got only a Tanakh in front of you, or only a Siddur in front of you, and you don't want to waste your time, you haven't got Sforim. I've found a fascinating subject is to take the particular Mizmor, or the particular part of the Torah, and see what letters are there and what letters aren't there. Now, I've started this, because I first came across this in the Balaturim, in this week's Sedra, where he says there is no Samach in the Parsha of Bikurim. And he says the reason is it's a remez that there should be a 60th. In fact, I myself had thought of a different explanation, and that is the Samach represents what's known as the Sitro Achro. It also represents Smol and Sitro Achro. Samach is a letter which represents the bad in life. And the proof for that is a similar occurrence happens in the beginning of Chumash. The Bereishis Rabbah states that there was no Samach until after the Chet of Chava. There's a problem with that particular Bereishis Rabbah, which is a separate issue. But the Bereishis Rabbah does say that the Samach only came into force when there was Chava's sin. So we see from that that the absence of the Samach is the removal of all sin. And I'm pleased to say I actually found this later in the Paneach Rozo, and the idea is that the end of Kisetse has Amalek. Amalek is the worst you can have in life, and the Bikurim is the antithesis of Amalek, because it shows selflessness and Akoros HaTov. And in order to show that Bikurim will get rid of Amalek, they left the Samach out of that particular parasha. That's just two examples in Chumash. Another example in Chumash is Rabbeinu Bachya. In the bracha which Yaakov gave to Yehuda, you'll find all the letters bar the letter Zion, and he gives various explanations. One of the most beautiful ones of his explanations is that Zion represents clay Zion, a weapon, and Yehuda's Malchus will not be through weapon, it will be Hakol Kol Yaakov. The Jewish people work through the voice, through the tefillah, and we, although we have to physically take weapons, it's not the weapon which will work. So we see examples of this, and I started applying this to various different Mizmorim. We haven't got time to go through the whole of Tehillim at the moment, but remarkable things did come out. One of the most remarkable of all was in the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, which we say from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres. If you look through the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, you'll find every single letter bar one. And we're not talking of the letter Zion, which is one of the less frequent letters, or the letter Tes, which is a very infrequent letter. If you want to know exactly the number of times which each letter occurs, there's a sefer called for Ovad HaLevi, which actually sets it out. There's also, now with computers, it can't be very difficult to work it out. But you will find that the letters Zion and Tes and Samach are very infrequent letters. Obviously, Vovs and Yuds occur a tremendous amount. But the letter which is missing from David Ori is the letter Gimel. Now, it's quite fascinating, because you've got 13 or 14 verses, long verses, and you would expect normally to find all the letters there. Why is the Gimel omitted? So that set me thinking. Well, when you've got to find the fact, we'll have the fact, then we've got to find out what does the Gimel represent. Well, we know that the Samach represents the Sitro Achro, we just said that. We know that the Zion represents Klei Zion. What would you say that Gimel would represent? Well, the answer is very simple. The Gemara in Shabbos and Habayna, it says Aleph Bina Gemel Dalim. First of all, you have to have intelligence, and you have to learn Torah, because without Torah you go nowhere. And then Gemel, do good deeds. And that, then it triggered my imagination. The essence of the whole of Ladovid Ori is clearly set out in the Malbim, in the Pasuk, Achas Sho'alti Meis Hashem Osa Avakish. Dovid HaMelech wanted one thing, to sit in the Beis HaMedrash each day. Levakeh Bahei Cholo, it says, Donish Levakeh, Kol Boike O Boike, I'm going to come to the Beis HaMedrash. That was his wish. However, Puro David HaMelech, he was had such a lot to do. First of all, he had to look after the whole of the state of Israel. Secondly, the Gemara tells us that all sorts of people came with all their problems to him. They hadn't got enough food to eat, David had to have the problem. But then the Gemara says he had to answer all sorts of shailas. Yodai Meluch Leches Meluch Lachos Dam Shila. The whole day he was passing shailas and dealing with things. Can you imagine a man as great as David HaMelech, who was up at midnight saying to him, he was busy all day long. Now we know from the Gemara in Chagig Daf Tes on the base that there's a din. Osek b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah, except in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Anybody's Osek in Talmud Torah is not potter min ha-mitzvah unless it's Efshel le'yosos adei achein. This was not Efshel le'yosos adei achein. He was the Melech. He should have been doing Chesed all day long. He wouldn't have had a second for himself. Ah, the problem is, if that's the case, when is he going to learn Torah? Well, the answer is, they take a marshal of a surgeon. A surgeon has to operate, and he's the top surgeon in the country. What will happen if that surgeon operates day and night? He'll collapse. He's got to sleep, he's got to rest. But worse than that, if he doesn't keep up with all the new literature, and he doesn't keep up with conferences and understand what other doctors are saying, he'll lose his ability to be the top surgeon. Now that's the point here. David HaMelech was saying, unless I'm sitting in the Beis HaMikdash for sufficient time every day, I will not be David HaMelech. My chesed will be affected. I've got to set aside time. Even though the Gemara says Osef HaMitzvah is not Potter HaMitzvah Talmud Torah, this is absolutely essential. There is a proof to this from the famous Rambam in the question of getting married. You can defer your marriage for learning Torah even though there's a mitzvah pru revu. It's the same concept, because if you get married you won't be able to have the proper Torah. So there is a concept here of having a learning Torah in order to do the chesed properly. A person who just simply does chesed without learning the Torah, the chesed will fall apart. There are proofs for that too. We haven't got time for it at the moment, but the point we're trying to make is this. David HaMelech said, I have to be in the Beis Medrash every day for a certain period of time, and then I'll go back. Levakir, I want to be there kol boiker leboiker. That's why he said, it's true I've got to have Gemilas Chesed, and that overrides everything, but it doesn't override everything if the Gemilas Chesed is going to be affected. And therefore he left out the Gimel in this particular mizmor, which is saying Achas Shoalti Meis Hashem. That's my suggestion, which can be developed further. I also found in Shemoneh Esrei itself a remarkable thing. There is no pay in the first bracha and no Zayin in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, and there is no final fay in the whole of Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis of no, and none in benching, no final fay, except in Lokayin Netzar you get a final fay. You get a final fay in Musaf, and the only other occasion when you'll get a final fay is on Purim, and that's Taf Vanoshim. Check it out, I can assure you there's no final fay in the whole of those places. Why? I came across a Baal Hetiv in Hilchos Birchos HaMazon who actually mentions there's no final fay in Birchos HaMazon because anybody who will bench with Kavona, he will remove Charein Af. The final fate is goes together with Af. That's what he says. But how does that affect Shemoneh Esrei? And why is there a pay in Musaf? And why is there a pay on Purim? And why is there a pay in the Kohen Gadol? And I'll tell you more. Hashem Sefosai Tiftachu Fi Yagid Techilosecho. Three pays. And Yomim Neron Zochreinu L'chaim Melech Chofetz B'chaim. Why did they put two pays in? Now there are many different nuschos in the middle of the brachas, but no nusach has a pay in the first bracha. No nusach has a zayin in the second bracha, except Yom Neroim, Nichamoch Avorachamin, Zocher Yitzurov. Was that an accident? Why, if there's no pay and no zayin, then there's got to be a reason for it. Well, let me tell you briefly what I suggest. We have to know what these letters mean. We've done the Zayin already, we know what the Zayin means. What's the pay mean? Pay represents the mouth. peh. Ayin represents the eye. Peh represents the mouth. We know this from Eichel. Kotzavad pihem. Rashi from the Gemara in Sanhedrin says they put their mouths before the eyes, and therefore in chapters Beis, Gimel, and Dalet they inverted the order and put the Beis, sorry, put the pay before the ayin in Eichel. They didn't do it in the first chapter. Good reasons for that. But in the second, third, and fourth chapters, they inverted the pays and the ayins, because the pay represents the mouth. Now, let me ask you, in Shemoneh Esra, who gave us Rishus to daven to Hashem? We go to Hashem, give us this, give us Das, give us Refuah. We are to talk to the Melech Malchei Malchim. You can't do it. You just don't do things like that. Who are we? Like, you can send the God Lador to pray for you. You should pray yourself. But how dare you open your mouth before the king? What gave you the permission to do it? The answer is that Avud Raham says, there's two pshat in his Rav Seh Shem Sfas Haitiach Tachas, it's based on the chapter of Shluch Korbonis, but the Avud Raham says, we have to say Shem Sfas Haitiach Tachas, because if you don't say that, you can't start Shemoneh Esra. Who are you? You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, would you open my mouth, and I will then speak your praise, because there's a mitzvah tefillah which you gave us in the Torah. We have a mitzvah tefillah. Please give us Rishus, Hashem Sfas Haitiach Tachas. There's three pays to be meranes that we're asking for those pays. But in the bracha itself, no pay. Because we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're unable to really use our pet, except Yomim Noron is different. In Zachreinu L'chaim, the Tur asks the Kasha, the Mephoshim asks the Kasha, you're not allowed to ask for the public, for your private welfare during the first block of the Shemesh. So how can you ask for things in Shemesh? Three answers are given, very briefly. The Tur says, because you're not asking for yourself, you're asking for the Tzibur. He quotes a Haggai and it says, Shas Cheirum Shiny. It's an emergency situation. In emergencies, you know, you're about to be killed, you'll talk to anybody. Didn't care if it was the King of Kings. You've got no problem. And the Chofetz Chaim and the Kerem Hatzvi and others say, you're not asking for yourself. It's Man Cho Elokim Chaim. We're like an army asking for better weapons. Not for ourselves. We say, look, we can't serve you if we're ill. We can't serve you if we haven't got the proper equipment. We're asking for life, Laman Cho. We like the army. We want you to help. We want to get this extra equipment so we can help you. It's not for ourselves. If that's the case, then we've got a pair. We've got, and we're able to do it. For whatever, each one of those three reasons gives us a pay. Therefore, we have the pay. That's the first bracha. Very briefly, the second bracha. The second bracha is the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zion is weaponry. It's power. We've got a tremendous number of tanks and weaponry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need tanks and weapons. He doesn't need Klei Zion. Mechalkel Chayim, he's got the power, but he don't have a Klei Zion. Except, during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to town. He's here. If he's going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to be in your house, then he's present. If he's present, he's got all his malachim, he's got all his weaponry with him. So of course you have to have the Klei Zion. It's part of his equipment. So then we put the Zion in to say, Zeuchen, now we know that you're here. But that's a brief. Now finally the final fei. The final fei is like this. The pei represented the mouth. There is a Gemara which says, Levai she yispalel kol hayom. It's true, we didn't have the shush to start, but once you've got started, you should never be finishing. How can you stop? Once you've been given the go-ahead, we've got so much to pray for. Levai she yispalel kol hayom. You can't finish. To be meram is that you should never finish. Send him a benching. The Hakuras HaTov of benching should be so great that you should never stop thanking him. But we've got to stop eventually. But so to show that we shouldn't ever stop with the prayer, the final phase of it, except when it comes to Elokein Tzor, Chachom said, look, you've got to stop now. Chachom said, time has come to go and do other things. So in Elokein Tzor, which is added on by Chazal, which is the main Shemoneh Esra is finished, then they put the final phase. The same thing on Purim. Purim is the one day on the year where you've got to stop, because you've got to get shikra. If you're shikra, you can't be mispalo. That's why they put the final fei in on Purim. It's the only time, because it's the only time that Yom Tov you can carry on davening. Shabbos you can carry on davening. Yom Kippur you can daven. Purim you can't. Because if you're shikha, you've got to go to sleep, the Rambam says. You can't continue anymore. Since there's something stopping you, they put the final fay. Now, it also explains why there's no final fay in Musaf. Because Musaf is not prayer in the same sense as Shachris. Shachris is you're asking for your needs. In Musaf, you're not asking, you're being doing basically representing what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's, you can have, obviously have to develop. Now, I've given you. We haven't got all day to go on there. We're looking at the fact Shavash is Father Kalayim. We could go on and on, but there are many, many more examples through the Mizmorim of Tehillim where you can take out what is missing, and then from that you can extrapolate and work things out. It's a type of learning which is a new, but anyway, it's a thing which we can do. There are examples of this in Rishonim, but it's an area which you can do on your own. When you're waiting in shul for something to happen, all you've got in front of you is a siddur. It happens very, very often. Take the siddur and look, and each place see what you can derive from it. Okay, I think we'll. I've spoken long enough on that.